people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. I am Mickey, and around the table we have...
Becca.
Ronnie.
Ben.
And we've got a good short list of things to hit on today. The first thing I want to talk about is something that's been up on the board. Becca, you'd mentioned something about turn signals.
Yeah, and it's actually not to gripe about people's lack of usage or what have you. It's just something I randomly think about while I was driving in traffic. The first point I wanted to make on it was something that frequently happens. But if you think about a car and the evolution of cars since even the last 20, 30 years, all the technology and the changes to how things function, so many things have come such a long way in 20, 30 years. Except the turn signal is exactly the same as it always has been. So the first thing I always think about is some people use turn signals and some people don't anyways, period. But whether they're using it or not, you can never tell if they're making a U-turn. So can't there be something different in the U-turn signal? It causes problems at certain intersections where I live.
All of us around the table are giving Becca the side eye.
Why am I getting the side eye?
I didn't know I was.
Wouldn't it? Because they never make just a little U-turn over this big road. It's called a highway, but it's not. You know, they'll make this wide swinging, and you're sitting at the red light yielding on the right and think, okay, I'm good. They're all turning into here. No, this guy is swinging.
What they've done as an alternative is to make U-turns mostly illegal in most places. So.
Some places they... Yeah. Well, actually, a lot of places, it's still totally legal, and
I can say for a fact that all of Cobb County makes U-turns illegal unless otherwise posted. Ask me how I know.
Oh, well.
I hear there's a ticket in the mechanism.
Yeah, that's a citation. And if the officer doesn't like you, because it is count on being busted county after all, you might get an additional two or three, you know, because a cop's word will always win against yours.
Oh, that's a whole other podcast for me right there.
Count on being busted. I've never heard that before.
Really? Yeah. Cobb is awful. Sorry if any of our listeners are Cobb police, Cobb County police, I apologize. I hope that you're one of the good ones. But there are a lot of people that kind of do what they do up north, and they just shark people out over small things, and they turn it into acts of terrorism. And it's like, man, just... We're all doing a job. I know you're doing your job. You pulled us over. We did something silly that's illegal in the books. Just give us our citation and let us be on our way. Now, if it's a person that's being irate about the situation, I didn't know I was doing something wrong.
Right.
Well, one, get an education, and two, this ticket is your lesson.
Right.
You know, which is another entire tangent topic of court and insurance companies working together to extort as much money as possible out of individuals. But again,
another podcast.
Right.
Yes,
another podcast.
Yes, I could rant as well.
But going back to the turn signal issue, I think that actually stems from what we've talked about so frequently on this show, the original concept of just being able to drive. U-turns don't need to swing super wide.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's an awareness of where your car is in relation to the median, because I've seen both situations.
Well, it's what they want access to on this particular road. It's because I'm talking about Highway 92 in Georgia. Nobody come stalk me, please. They're swinging wide because they're looping around to pick up 575 northbound. So they're swinging across six lanes right by where the Starbucks is. So, you know, a lot of us are turning right out of there because we're at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And then these people are doing U-turns to get on northbound, but they're deliberately swinging wide. It's not that they're all
horrible. So part of that, I would say civil engineering is also kind of lacking down here in Georgia, where they don't engineer roadways very properly. They don't know how to deal with high volumes of traffic, and like, understandably so. Volume has changed dramatically over the last 10 to 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
and,
the truth.
When you have industrial and civil engineers coming, you know, out of not such a high rate college or university, and they only have 2 years of experience, and they just need to get the job done rather than be innovative, you don't end up with a really good product. So the solution there would probably be, you know, develop something that would fix the roadway, that would grant the people access to the highway that they look for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and yielding is a very lost skill too now.
They don't know what it means. I saw nearly an accident, guy blaring his horn because the guy in front of him yielded.
Well, and the thing is yielding a lost skill, or is courtesy a lost value?
Yes. Well, yeah, yes, no, and separate things. But, you know, I mean, if somebody wants to turn left, somebody wants to turn right in the same general area, there is no reason they should be going at the same time.
Right. I've come across people not knowing, you know, what would be the term, priority
right.
at intersections.
Yeah.
You know, if you show up first, you get the right of way. And people will just ignore who showed up first, or if, you know, you're next in line, they'll be on their phone or they'll be distracted for whatever other reason, and they won't realize it's their turn.
A left turner generally should be yielding anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Which situation?
Almost any situation.
Four-way stop.
Yeah, because left turn should be yielding, even if someone oncoming is signaling to a right turn.
But you still have a turn order. There's still a turn order. So
not in this country, not legally.
Yeah, there is at a four-way stop.
Yeah,
four-way stop, not a two-way.
That's true. At a four-way stop, there is a turn order.
There's a turn order. It starts at the right and it moves to the left.
Is it law and where so?
I can bring you the driver's book.
We'll
I
have
already
look that
made
up,
a note for something
that's
else.
The way I was
that's
going
to vary from place to place.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, in Germany.
Well, in the state of Georgia.
Yeah. I was going to say, Germany did have a national law that it's always the person to the right.
Well, the person to the right always starts it and then it moves to the left.
It moves clockwise after that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. In speaking of Germany and in comparison to America, we now in Atlanta, at least, have a lot of traffic circles showing up where four-way stops used to be.
Right.
And it's still clear to me that even though that has freed up a general flow of traffic, people still don't know how to navigate traffic circles.
They really don't. Not a clue. I've lived in fear of traffic circles.
Right. For instance,
roundabouts,
you're supposed to treat the traffic circle like its own little street and signal when you're leaving it.
Yeah.
And people don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, things like that.
Although I've discovered, and I don't know, maybe they engineer these better up north or something. My turn signal, usually the degree of the road keeps trying to turn off with the cancel cam on my turn signal. So it's like I've got to hold it while turning it. Yeah.
I think once you initiate the turn, though, you know,
people
should have the idea that you're turning.
And generally, because of the angle, they can't really see your right-hand turn signal anyway.
I will say that auto manufacturers should do a better job of making the turn signal on vehicles more visible from various angles.
Yes.
Unless you're dead on forward or dead on rear, on some vehicles, you can only see it in those situations. But if it's coming from, I don't know, a 45-degree angle, you may not see it.
And I like the ones that are showing up on the side mirrors.
Yeah.
I like those.
That's a good
help. Oh, yeah.
It's a little ricey, but, you know, since manufacturers caught
well.
On. Actually, I've seen it on European cars.
I've seen,
cars. I've
well.
Seen it on,
for sure.
Yeah.
Ricey.
It's a good place to be very visible.
So do I even bother going back to my topic, or do I just abandon it at this
it's
point?
Up to you, Becca. I mean, do you want a U-turn signal on the car?
I kind of want to see like the soft
whole point
horn,
is
angry
for
horn
it
more.
To indicate your intention, and if the turn signal can, and this isn't entirely serious, it's mostly a joke, but still, if the entire intention for a turn signal is to tell everybody else your intention and it says I'm turning left and oh no, I'm making a U-turn. You know what? I think the joke is pretty well lost.
You know, in terms of your verbiage, though, I think you kind of caught yourself because it's a turn signal, right?
So that's why I came back, but they're using a turn signal to make a U-turn. There should be a U-turn signal.
I'm not telling you what kind of turn it is. It's still a turn signal.
It's still an upcoming turn.
That's right.
Right.
Okay, so I can put on my turn signal, throw my car into reverse. As long as I'm turning the steering wheel, it's totally okay.
Actually, yeah, it is.
Did you know it's illegal to back up on a roadway? There you go.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if I'm doing a J-turn, of course I'm going to use
my
signal.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to use my signal, and I'm going to do a 15-point turn.
Should we have a special signal for a Michigan left?
What is a Michigan left?
That's where you go through your intersection, make a U-turn, and then take a right.
Yeah, I've done that.
Oh, yeah. There's
one big thing in the north.
There's an intersection in Suwannee where it really helps.
Oh, good grief.
Because of the amount of oncoming traffic.
Yeah, no,
this is
that.
Why Becca never puts stuff up on the board.
So would this be like an extra notch down for a U-turn signal on the same
I don't lever? Know. I don't know.
Because, yeah, I can see people just messing that up altogether. And,
like they get the regular turn signal right.
Yeah.
I mean, people can't turn on their headlights when night falls. I can't imagine.
Well, see, maybe your questions would have been answered if...
That's where I get a little jaded on the prospect of expecting the public to use a great tool properly.
See, See, you still should have been listening then.
Yes.
Part of my revamp to the turn signal was going to be a suggestion to, if your car feels that you have made a sharp enough veer or a turning motion and you haven't used your turn signal, you get a loud noise.
Right.
Kind of Pavlov them into using turn signals. Also, if your turn signal has been on longer than 2 to 3 minutes, there should be a warning chime. Your turn
that
signal's
been
exist.
On. That does exist.
Where?
I've seen Chrysler's and what was an old Plymouth that had exactly
I have
that.
Never seen that. That's yeah. Well, then bring it back. I have never. Yeah. My Pontiac, though, it tells you if your engine's been running for 2 hours, every 45 minutes thereafter, you can dismiss it.
Right.
And I know there are some traffic lights. You will sit at it for 5-6 minutes.
Right, right.
Okay, but you have a little dismiss button. Once your turn signal's been on for 2 minutes, hey, your turn signal's on. Because obviously they can't hear the click. They can't see the green flashing arrow.
I would like to see that a standard feature in most cars. But
see, if you'd let me go further down my rabbit hole, you would have had some
Is
of those.
Is there anything else in the rabbit hole, Becca?
I'm pausing because anything that would have come out of my mouth at that point would have been wrong.
All right, let's do a quick moment of trivia here. Our jalopy joust of the day, jalopy trivia joust.
Did we do a trivia the last?
We didn't. The last two episodes, we actually skipped trivia because we were doing all this very legal stuff.
Mickey was enthralled.
I was completely enthralled.
The look on his face, he was enthralled.
So this question, I think we may answer almost immediately. I'm not sure. On most modern cars, that is cars manufactured after 2005 specifically, what service would you perform most often? Would it be oil changes, tire rotations, fuel filter changes, or brake pad changes?
Brake pads.
Brake pads.
Is this according to some statistic, or is this like good practices, or is this according to ASE, or?
I don't have a citation on this one.
Usually you cite Reddit.
No, this one's not a Reddit. that much I do know. But let's just say best practices, philosophically speaking, because I just don't have a citation for it.
My best practice would be to say tire rotations.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Well, according to this, wherever it came from, and I'll have to go back and research it, it says, even on modern cars, in most cases, regular oil changes are still the most commonly executed maintenance, generally done every 3,000 to 5,000 miles. Tire rotations are most often performed every other oil change.
Well, the reason why I went for that, though, with the changes in oil, plus there have been changes from manufacturer recommendations and everything, people are no longer doing 3 months, 3,000 miles. It's pushing it up to five and beyond.
Yep.
And how often they're done versus how often they're recommended, I think, is
That definitely played into what I was thinking.
Because
ride the brakes a whole lot more, which doesn't wear down the tires when you're in stop and go because you're stopped more. And then with the increase in the oil, and no one ever, half the people I know go, we have a fuel filter.
Right, exactly. So if a member of our audience has a bit of car trivia they'd like to put up on the show, please send it to us. You can contact us via our webpage, as always, thethingaboutcar.com, thingaboutcars.com.
Yes, more than one.
More than one. Or the Facebook page is also an equally good way to get us. That's facebook.com/thethingaboutcars. Give me some time to research the trivia, and then we may use it on our show. So having said that, the next thing on our agenda, Ronnie, what's in your garage these days?
Most of you may have heard that I've been working on a movie, and I'm finally wrapping that up. And hopefully within the next year, I'll be able to talk about it some, because I worked on some really cool things with
within
this
movie. Within the next year?
Yeah, I can't say anything until
it
releases. Yeah, it needs to be out in theaters, and then I can start talking some about it. I can't talk too much about it, but I can give some cool car information about it. But the thing that I've been working on recently due to me closing out on the movie is the Baby Driver Subaru WRX that I own, which is very exciting. For those of you that remember the story, I bought the car from the movie because I worked on it. I helped build the car. Then I rebuilt the engine because I spun a bearing on a dyno, which is completely my fault. And after the first assembly of the engine, I got a very depressing text message from one of my good friends, Chris Allman Sr., who's a fantastic race car driver and engine builder. He also rallycrosses a Subaru WRX himself. He said, "Hey, man, I'll help you tune the car. What did you set your ring gaps to?" Now, being an amateur engine builder and having been through several rudimentary engine building courses, never has anyone told me anything about ring gap set being part of a tune. I thought, you know, if everything's OE spec, there would just be a reference spec for all of it. But apparently that's not the case for piston rings. You have to put them in the bore of your cylinder, put a feeler gauge to it to measure the gap, and then grind it according to whatever tune spec you want. So I never did any of that. And I let the car sit for a year and a half because I was so depressed because I have so much money in this thing now.
Yeah.
And finally, this past week, a bunch of my friends encouraged me like, hey, man, now's the time. Rebuild the Subaru. So I ripped the engine out in a day. I had it all torn down to block in about half a day. I sent the engine off to my buddy Chris. He's going to do the ring gaps for me. And we're hoping by next week the engine will be back together. I'm adding a few more goodies to it, and I'd be able to get it to tune. And Atlanta, Georgia, you will see the baby driver Subaru ripping through the Atlanta streets again.
Fantastic.
That is the greatest hope.
Is it obvious that something make it stand out so people can look for it?
It's the only red, what's the code? GD8? It's 2006 to 2007 is the year range.
I don't think people know. Like, they look at a color and go, hey, that's the ZR White.
Well, the ZR White, my gosh.
That's the code on my Mustang. That's what popped into my head.
It's a Victory Red Subaru Impreza WRX with Hawkeye headlights, which is the 06 to 07 model year. It's got black, I think, 10-spoke wheels. They're from XXR, very generic, crummy wheels.
Just put a sign on the car that says this is the baby daddy Subaru, then.
The baby daddy Subaru. I'm going to get a whole lot of the wrong messages from that one. Like,
Baby driver.
Oh, I said baby daddy. Sorry. Blank. Yeah. That was a total blank out there.
My wife is going to have so many questions when I get home. but if I can get that going within the next week, that would be the biggest victory of Ronnie's Garage.
That would be
in
fantastic.
A very long time. Yeah. So I think that's the proudest thing for me to talk about right now.
All
right.
Very cool.
Very cool. Ben, you got anything for us?
Well, let's see. I have read recently that GM is getting a lot closer to telling us something for sure about that mid-engine Corvette.
I heard they officially released the first photograph of it. It's still in camo, though.
Well, yeah. Basically, what happened was their CEO, Mary Barra, attended an event in New York City, a charity gala, and she showed up in the camouflaged prototype that had a date written in big numbers on the door. It's July 18th.
Okay.
And she didn't say anything, but she, you know, somebody else was driving it. She hops out of the passenger seat. It's got July 18th, 19 on the door.
Yep.
So that's a huge, huge tease. And so that's probably when we're going to see it.
Well, if GM's going to put a date on it finally, because they've avoided putting any kind of a date on it. They've sort of talked in ambiguities and pushed it.
Yeah.
And now they have an actual date. So maybe they fixed their problems and are ready to produce the thing.
Maybe so. Yeah, I think they're getting pretty close on it.
So let's say to GM, if you want us to test drive one, I think the thing about cars would happily do that for you.
Yeah.
Very, very happily. Yes. I'd give you all the feedback.
Yes. I'd give you as much data as you want about your car.
Wait. I want to say that about the new Bronco.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
If you need somebody to test drive, I like older cars so much better, but this is one newer car that has me chomping. So I want to put that out too. Ford, if you need somebody to test drive the Bronco, let me know.
Cool. And, you know, we're available to any car company that wants to work with us to do test drives or otherwise cross promote this podcast in general.
Definitely.
Did I mention recently that we're looking for people to sponsor the show?
I don't think you've mentioned it in a while.
I don't think I've mentioned that. We are looking for sponsors. So we try to figure that out. But that's all the time we have for today. Thank you, as always, for joining us. And we look forward to your comments and feedback. I think I've already mentioned our website, thethingaboutcars.com. If you really like what we do, we really like it when you become part of the Thing About Cars family by helping us via our Patreon page, patreon.com/thethingaboutcars. Anything else, you guys, before we sign off? Excellent, and we will see you in another week. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.